Our reading from Acts today, we're told that Paul stood in front of the Areopagus. I don't know how up on your Greek you are. Ares was the Greek god of war, and Areopagus basically means hill. And in Rome, the god of war is Mars. And so Areopagus is Greek for Mars Hill. I have been to a Mars Hill Baptist church. I've seen them on the road quite often. I've never seen an Areopagus Baptist church, but I guess they prefer the Latin. But that's where he is. He's at Mars Hill. And this is the big time. He's playing the palace, almost literally. Athens was the center of knowledge and understanding and philosophy and wisdom for what they felt was the known world. It all came back to Athens. All the great ideas had to be vetted in Athens. You thought you knew what you were doing? Bring it to Athens and we'll see. It was the peer review journal of its day. And so Paul had come there bringing his message about God. And he starts off meeting them where they are, recognizing that they have all these temples and shrines to all these deities. But he said, you admit it, there's here one to the unknown God. You know, there might be one you don't even know who it is. Well, I'm here to tell you who it is. It's in Jesus Christ that we have this God. It's that you've recognized this in all your lives. Even your poets, your philosophers have said that in him we move, live and move and have our being. I'm here to tell you who that is and about him. That it's the God that was revealed in Jesus Christ. So he says, you know, I understand you worship these gods, but you also know there's something beyond the material. I mean, think about it, guys. You're not really worshiping gold or silver or wood, are you? Something you can make with your hands? You can't worship that. You create that, but you don't worship that. I'm talking about something bigger. They went over like a lead balloon. They kicked him out of Athens and didn't particularly listen to him. But we as Christians can hear what Paul was trying to say. That the material, the physical, it can lead us to God, but it's not God. I love the fact that he brings up that all cultures and all times are reaching out, groping for God, is the word he uses, and try to find him. Not that he's far away, Paul is quick to point out. But that's kind of the thing. We are created longing for God. We are spiritual beings incorporate. And we have a need for God. And until we know and find that, we try all kinds of other things to fill that gap in our lives. We try to fill, as they put it, a God-shaped hole with all kinds of other things. And they don't fit. And we're never satisfied. Because we're not satisfying the longing that we actually have, which is for God, which was placed in there by God. Because everything starts, continues, and ends in God. We don't seek God because of ourselves. We seek God because we hear God's call. It all starts with God. That's what Paul was trying to tell them. They didn't get it. Hopefully, we get it. A bit, at least. The thing is, sometimes, even when we know that we're to fill that space with God, somehow God moves out. What happens is we kick him out. If we feel away from God, if we feel that God has moved, it's not God who's moved. It's us. And it happens to all of us. We've all had times when we feel like we're just far from God. But the thing is, that doesn't happen to everybody at once. Which is why we have the church, why we have each other, that we can depend upon each other when we're at that point. Someone else is not going to be there with us. They'll be there to be able to help us and support us. That's what we're supposed to do with each other. That's what loving your neighbor as yourself comes down to, supporting and building each other up, because we're not expected to go it alone. There's no such thing as an individual Christian. We are part of the body of Christ. Paul uses that metaphor several times in his letters, and it's an apt one, that we make up Christ in the world. And just as our body parts shouldn't fight against each other, they should work to support each other. That's what we are supposed to do, to build up and support each other. and do what is right. Peter was writing and saying that, you know, it's one thing if you do something wrong and you get punished, you know, you shouldn't have done it. But sometimes you're going to suffer things because you did what was right. Don't let that stop you. Still do what is right. I had more than one person who was at Walter's funeral Friday say when I walked by the casket, I wanted to touch it, pat it, but it felt like it was wrong. No, that feeling of just making contact, it's not disrespectful. It was done out of a sense of loss and of saying goodbye. It's not wrong to do what is right, even if people don't understand it. We are called to something incredible, to be in communion with God. It's beyond human understanding. And yet God gives us the grace to go with it, to do it, to be part of it. Even when we have doubts, even when we have questions, even when we're not sure. Because that's when faith can sustain us. And not our faith alone, but the faith of those around us. And we give thanks to God for that. That's why we come together to worship. Yes, you can worship God wherever you are, and you should worship God wherever you are, but we can do it really well when we're here together. When we raise our voices in song together, when we kneel together at the altar, when we praise God together. Yeah, you can do that anywhere, but we do it best here. We do it best when we're together. We do everything best when we're together. Flies in the face of that rugged American individualism, I know, but so be it. We're countercultural. We believe we need each other. We believe that you don't have to do it alone. You can ask for help, that you can depend upon others. It's a good thing. It's grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.